while Ardsdale Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
It's the second Sunday of the new year. And for us at Pollard's Hill, second Sunday of the year is Vision Sunday, where we look at the motto verse that God has given us for the year. Every year over the past 5 years now, isn't it? I think. 20, 1, 2, 3, 4. So 25. This is the sixth time we're doing this, where God has led us as a leadership team to choose a verse, to land on a verse of scripture as our anchor for the year. And every time he has led us, you know, with those motto verses, we've seen that verse fulfilled. I don't want to do the whole history thing, but last year, our motto verse, we said that we're going, through our motto verse, we said that we're going to be joyful in hope, and more than that, in anticipation of what was going to come, and we knew things were going to get rough. We also said we're going to be patient in our times of affliction, and no matter what came to pass, we would be, thank you, faithful in prayer. So let me, oh gosh, it was a chorus there, wasn't it? Because I was about to ask the question, so how did you get on with being joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer? How did you get on? How did you do? For many of us, 2024 was a challenge, you know? I just said those words. I says, for many of us, 2024 was a challenge. And somebody said, Ooh, sometimes, you know, you don't need words. Have you ever felt a Did you know what I mean? I don't need to. You know, how was 2024? How many of you feel when you think about 2024, you have a Yeah? Any hmms here? I see one hand. Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah, 2024 was a And you know, for me, I found myself continually coming back to this verse of scripture to find strength, to find encouragement. You know, the joyful in hope bit, be joyful in hope, yay. That middle one, be patient in affliction. I was just like, Lord, I mean, you know what? I mean, when you're talking to God and your voice goes high pitched, it's like, Lord, patient in affliction. I mean, I want the affliction to end. I don't want to be patient in it. What is this? And this year, our motto verse is taken from the book of Psalms, Psalm 118:14. It was read earlier. As part of the Bible reading, it was read from the NIV that says, the Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. However, we've done it differently this year. And we specifically chose to go with the easy to read version. Psalm 118:14 says, the Lord is my strength, my reason for singing. He saved me. And you can see it here in the posters at the front. Next Sunday is our anniversary service. And if you're here in the building, you'll be able to get a physical copy of this. We print them out every year. You stick it on the fridge to remind you. Stick it on the mirror. You know, stick it on your dashboard. Don't stick it on your windscreen. Don't want that. You know, so they'll be here. Hopefully they'll have been delivered by then. Alternatively, if you go to the website, phbc.org.uk/mottoverse, there's an image of this that you can pick up and just download to your device. So similar to what we did last year, what we're going to do is we're going to focus on one aspect of the motto verse for today. Today's sermon, which focuses on the first part, the Lord is my strength. You see, the journey of life is full of ups and downs. It's full of good days, bad days, seasons of joy, seasons of sorrow, seasons where we laugh and dance, and seasons where we cry and we just want everybody to leave us alone. And this is true for all of us, especially after we become, in fact, after we become a Christian, you know, we decide we're going to live for Christ. Doesn't it feel like everything breaks loose? Do you remember when you first became a Christian? I mean, for me anyway, how many people here, you became a Christian and all of a sudden everything was woo? Anybody? Because I want you to come up here. Really? It was. After you became a Christian, life was woo. It was. Wow. Okay, I'll interview you after church and, you know, I want to know what happened to you. Because after I became a Christian, it's like Satan was like, excuse me, where are you going? Anybody else experience that? Dude came for me, came for my house, came for my life, my everybody around me. And so in the middle of this year, in the middle of life's trials, life's challenges, life's uncertainties, when life be lifing, as they say, there's one constant truth, there's one immutable truth that we as Christians can hold on to, and they're the words on screen: the Lord is my strength. How many people here have ever said these five words? Have you ever said it? Oh, the Lord is my strength. Have you ever said that? Yeah, I see nods, I see hands. Because sometimes that's all you have. You're just like, oh, the Lord is my strength. Sometimes that's all we have. And it's a simple yet profound declaration. And it's not just, you know, a statement of comfort. We're not just saying it. It's not just a feel-good thing. You know, the Lord is my strength. You know, it's not just one of those types of sayings. This particular saying is a declaration of faith. It's a recognition of the power of God, the presence of God, the faithfulness of our God, and that faithfulness in our lives. No matter what we're going through, in those times of hardship, this declaration becomes a source of hope, a beacon of hope. In the moments of weakness, it reminds us that we have power in Him. In the seasons of doubt, it roots us, it grounds us back in Him. It becomes an anchor for our souls when we are weary. And so today I want to talk about declaring God's strength into our lives for 2025. But what does it truly mean for God to be our strength? How can we experience His strength in our lives? Believe me, you're going to need help this year. Because let me tell you now, there are things that you are going to face that are going to require strength that you don't have on your own. Yeah, I'm telling you now. In fact, the elders of the church, the elders, the leadership team, the prayer team, you know, you guys, you know what I'm talking about. We've seen it already. We've seen it a week into the year, and all of a sudden, we saw it. We saw the bullets start to fly over this church and people, the lives of people in this church. Many of us have begun to face this already. And so if not all of us, many of us this year are going to face obstacles, dreams, challenges, even aspirations that are going to require strength more than ours, greater than ours. Yes, God has delivered us. He's helped us. He showed up for us in 2024. But that doesn't mean this year is going to be, you know, a walk in the park. It doesn't mean 2025 is going to be easy like Sunday morning. Yeah, I knew it. There's some Lionel Richie fans in the house. 2025 is probably going to require supernatural strength. The strength that God has already put inside of you. The strength that goes beyond your own natural ability. 2025 will require that. And I'm talking about the strength to get through one more day at work. The strength to endure the stuff that life is throwing at you and yet you're still smiling. The strength to maybe you're in a marriage and in your marriage right now, it doesn't feel like a kingdom marriage. It doesn't feel like a faithful marriage. Maybe you're saying, Lord, where are you even still with us? You're going to need His strength for that. Maybe you're going through stuff that's not everything you dream. You started a business and it looks like it's about to collapse. Maybe you have a child that's going a bit left, or it's a health situation or a money situation. You need His strength to endure, to keep going. Maybe you have pain in your body. It's so bad sometimes you don't want to get up in the morning. Maybe you need that strength. Maybe for some of us, it's none of the above. Maybe for some of us, it's emotional. It's psychological. It's spiritual. It's deep on the inside. We can't touch it. We can't point it to someone. We can't illustrate it to someone. We've tried so hard and we can't get past that point. Maybe. And maybe you've already tried and it's been a long time you've been trying. And for some of us, we're going to need His strength for our breakthrough. Maybe you had an opportunity coming up. Maybe it's what, business, a job, something. And you're not sure, what does this mean? Do I go, do I not? And you need His strength to break through in that area. And even though it might not feel like it sometimes, it doesn't feel like it sometimes. The truth is, the reality is, Jesus' strength is available to you and you can draw on His strength. You can draw on His strength. Amen. To overcome those things that you cannot overcome in your own strength. The Bible is ram full of people who ask God for help. Ask God, people saying, God, you know, I can't do this alone. I can't do it on my own. Asking him for strength. David is one of the most known people for that. And the Psalms are full of, when you read the book of Psalms, they're songs, they're poems, they're prayers, some of them. And in many of them, David is calling for strength. He's reassuring himself that God is going to show up for him in God's strength. And when we see David praying for strength, asking for strength, calling for strength, it's supposed to be an encouragement to us. You know, David was a mighty warrior, wasn't he? Yes? How many people, no, seriously though, show me hands so I know whether to go into it. How many people, you know a bit about David, the stuff he did? Yeah, I mean, from the moment he killed Goliath, the dude was just like, even before Goliath, wasn't it? Yeah, he was looking after sheep. The bear and the lion absolutely would rock up, and the lion would go roar, and David would like, bring it on. You know, okay, different accent, of course, He didn't quite, No, he was going to, I don't know, how do they do that? Anyway, I'm not going to do it. Yeah, sorry. Watching too many superhero movies, yeah? So this guy, he was a strong guy. He was a mighty warrior. And yet, he asked God for strength. I'm sorry, what? Yet he asked God for strength. You know, in Psalm 138, verse 3, David wrote these words. He says, when I called, you answered me. You greatly emboldened me. He's talking about God. The boldness, the courage, the strength he had came from God. And you see, David knew there's no way he was going to succeed on his own. He wasn't going to do it in his own strength. And you've heard me say, listen, the worst lie a person can believe is the lie they tell themselves. I've said it many, many, many times. If you buy your own lie, who can save you? Who can save you? You constructed a lie, then you put a price tag on it, then you came over here and you said, ooh, that looks nice, how much? And then you came over this way and said, well, I'll sell it to you at a discount. Then you came over this way and said, wow, how kind of you, thank you so much. Oh, it's a pleasure doing business with you. And then you transferred the money to yourself and sent yourself a receipt. Who can help you out of that nonsense? Who can? When a person believes their own lie, that's what they're doing. And David wasn't that guy. David didn't lie to himself. He knew he couldn't make it on his own. And he understood that. Verse 14 of our text, our motto verse says, the Lord is my strength. Every translation of this, that first bit, the Lord is my strength. The NL, New Living Translation, the Lord is my strength. The Amplified, the Lord is my strength. The New King James, the Old King James, the other King, anyway, the Lord is my strength. David is saying here, there's a strength I have access to that maybe some people don't have access to. The Lord is my strength. He's saying, I can't speak for you. Do you know what? Let me do that. Let's get a little bit Pentecostal, call and respond. Do me a favor now, yeah? Come on, tell somebody. High five, five people. Okay, no, sorry. You know I used to be a Pentecostal. I mean, I'm still anyway. So, do me a favor and tell somebody, I don't know about you. Hey, I don't know about you. The Lord is my strength. That's the emphasis. The Lord is my strength. He wasn't saying the Lord is strength. Note, he didn't say the Lord is strength. He owned it. It was personal. He's saying, listen, I don't know what frequency other people are operating in. I don't know. Some trust in chariots and horses. You heard that song, I will not lean to my own understanding. Some trust in their self-importance, their self-reliance, their sense, intelligence, their experience. But my results, the reason I get different results is because I don't trust in that stuff. The Lord is my strength. This is David's assertion from that statement. And he wasn't the only one. Do you think it was Moses' strength, that called him and caused him to walk into the office of the most powerful office, most powerful person on earth at the time, equipped with just a walking stick? Moses walked in to see Pharaoh. You think it was by his strength he did that? Or do you think it was by Moses' strength that the Israelites left Egypt? No, it was the Lord as their strength. Do you think it was Moses' strength, through his strength, that the Red Sea parted and they were able to cross on dry land? Of course not. Or you think it was by his strength that he tapped the rock with a stick and water came out? What strength is that? Of course not. Or it was by his own strength that Samson, a regular guy like me, Samson, if you look, you know, think about Samson, he was built a little bit like this, you know, 6'4", full of muscles everywhere, like me. Like me. Like me. Thank you very much. Yeah, I knew if I said it enough times, you would see the muscles, yes? I mean, listen, it's protected. You know this, right? I protect the things that are, my muscles are important to me, so I've wrapped them in bubble wrap. I keep telling you, they're protected, yeah? Muscles are important. Ask any medical person. A guy like, you know, Samson, defeated thousands of enemies. You think it was in his own strength? Of course not. It was the strength of the Lord. Or do you think, you know, this inexperienced soldier called Gideon that went to war with 300 people, defeated thousands upon thousands of his the enemy with 300 men, an inexperienced leader like him, you think it was in his own strength? Or David, as we're talking about the bear and the lion, the little boy, he was a boy. Has anybody here ever seen a lion, as in seen? Not pictures, as in, you know, those of us from Nigeria, we don't want to put our hands up, so in case, just put your hand up, we know you've seen a lion. Okay, I'm kidding. You know, a few years ago, we went to, where was it, Luton, somewhere in Luton. There's a safari park up there. I don't know if you know this, by the way. It's a wonderful thing. You just buy your tickets online, and you drive through. And there's rhinos and ostriches and giraffes, particularly even if you have young children, even if you don't have young children, you'll be like, wow. And then you get to the lion's bit, the lion's enclosure. It's like security upon security upon security upon security before you drive in. And there's people there saying, doors locked, doors shut, windows up. And there was a particular point, somebody rolled their window down, and this guy in a Land Rover, turn your window up, wind your window. It's like, whoa. Now, you've seen our cars, big-ish, you know, it's a 7-seater thing. And the lion, from where I'm standing, if I was standing next to there was a male. If I was standing next to that male, it would have come up to about here. The paw of the male, the paw, was almost the size of my iPad. I was looking at this creature in awe and wonder of God. Yet David, a little boy, on his own, in the bush, that thing came to eat some sheep. And David was like, not on my watch. Not on my watch. Again, I know it was a different accent, but he said the same thing. So from a young age, this guy was fighting and winning. Yet when he faced the champion of champions in his day, Goliath, you think he defeated Goliath because of that experience? You think it was simply his strength through which he did that? No, he was operating in the strength of the Lord. Amen? Amen? And let me talk about you. Do you think you can't operate in that same strength? Sometimes we read stuff in the Bible and it's like, wow, that's David. Wow, that's Moses. Wow, that's Deborah. Wow, that's Mary's faith. Or Martha's faith. Wow, that's Elijah, Elisha. That's this one and that one. The Lord is whose strength?
My strength.
Whose strength?
My strength?
Say it again. Whose strength?
My strength.
Who told you can't do it? What's that person's name? Give me their postcode. Let me go teach them something. Who told you can't? The Lord is your strength. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. I don't know what you're facing, but I know this. You can call on the Almighty God to be your strength. God takes pleasure in empowering ordinary people to do extraordinary things. And David, you know, shows this. The devil shakes. Do you know, the Bible says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will come back another day. Is that what it says? Submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will be quiet and watch you. No, I know some of you don't know the scripture. That's fine. Just go with it. Just keep smiling like you know it. If somebody says no, you're going to no, no. That's okay. Submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil. Those of you who know it, say it now, and loud. And he will?
Flee.
He will flee. Dude, put on his Reeboks and leave him. You leave the Reeboks behind. He's gone. Who told you the devil cannot flee from you? One of the most amazing aspects of God's strength is that it's available for everyone who seeks it. It's available to you, and it's available right here. It's available right now. You don't need to be some sort of spiritual giant to experience God's strength. You don't need a theology degree or be a pastor or be a deacon or be an elder or bishop or all these other titles. You don't need any of that to have and walk in God's strength. You don't need to have it all together. You don't need to be all that in a bag of chips, as the Americans would say. God's strength is not reserved for the strong or the righteous or people like me who are 6'4" and full of muscles. It's not just reserved for great guys like me, and obviously I'm very humble as well, yeah? It's not just reserved for us. It's freely given to everyone who calls on his name in faith. Is that you? Are you in need of his strength? And if you're in need of it, are you calling him for that strength? Or are you sitting there, I'm sorry, I'm just going to go there for a minute. Are you actually calling him for strength, or are you sitting on the floor, kicking your feet and throwing a tantrum? Because there's a very, very, how many people here are parents? Parents, come on, let me see. Good. How many people here, uncle or auntie, hands in the air? Yes? And you've looked after little children. That child, you know that child wants something. And they're sitting on the floor, kicking a tantrum. What are you going to do? You're like, ask me. How many times have you said to someone, say please? Say to a child, say please. And when they don't say please, what do? You give it to them? Like, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? You're better than that. Be better. Show better. I don't know what's going on for me today. I have all these accents coming out. Yeah. Yeah. In a minute, I'll be talking with a French accent. I'll be talking like this, and nobody will understand what I am saying. I don't understand. You have to ask the Holy Spirit what's going on. Oh, no, this is on YouTube as well. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Right, that's it. The French people are commenting, saying, please stop him from talking like that. Are you calling out to God? You know, our passage in Psalm 118 doesn't talk about David getting the strength after he got the victory. He called for the strength before he got the victory. When you look at verses 1 to 17, you see that this guy was in a tough place. He was surrounded. They came for him. Verse 11 says it this way. I love the way the New King James says, they surrounded me. Yes, they surrounded me. The Message says it. It says, they like swarming bees, like prairie fire, they hemmed me in. They circled him. The Easy Read Version said they surrounded me again and again. It wasn't just a one-time deal. This guy was trapped. He was facing a no-way-out situation, surrounded on every side, yet he didn't collapse in a heap and complain. He cried out to the Lord. And I'm sure many of us have been there. You're in that tough place. You're in that place of stress and distress. Negativity falls on you like a blanket. Come on, because something happened. Sometimes it's our own doing, a silly choice, silly decision, hanging out with the wrong people. Sometimes it's us, but other times it's not us. We didn't do it, and we didn't do anything to deserve it. And it just comes. Stuff that is designed to keep us away from God and keep us away from fellowship with God's people, the people he sent to help us. And then we see God doing what he did for David in this scripture. And it tells us that God is not just some passive spectator. He's not just hanging around waiting for something to happen. Oh, let me see what they're going to do. He's an active participant. He's a powerful protector. He's a safe sanctuary for us. C.S. Lewis, remember C.S. Lewis, the author? You know, they quoted him as saying, God foresaw your tribulation and has specifically equipped you to go through it, but not without pain, but without stain. Sometimes God allows the pain. He allows it. You're going to go through it. Have you ever been to the dentist? I'm not talking about an extraction, root canal, you know, or those other horrible, horrible things that dentists like to do to people. My closest friend is a dentist. I hope he's not listening to this thing because I'm going to be in trouble next time I go there. But when the dentist says, okay, let's just do a clean. I can hear that machine. You can feel it in your skull, in your soul. And it's just going zzz, zzz. And I'm like, guy, aren't you finished? He's like, no. Zzz. I'm like, why do you take such pleasure in pain? I mean, it doesn't take pleasure in pain. And it's uncomfortable, isn't it? But is it designed to help? Does it help? And you come out afterwards, you're like, hi. Hello. How are you? The Lord is my strength. Isn't that how we come out afterwards? You run your tongue over your teeth and you're like, ooh, woo. Feels like platinum in there. And immediately you find a mirror and you're like, ooh. Some of the things God allows us to go through, it comes with pain. And my thing is, I say to people all the time, don't you know, during COVID, some of you remember I said this. I said, if you're running through a field and there's a gate ahead of you and a lion behind you, do you focus on the lion? What if somebody came to you and said, hold on, let's consider. Hold on, stop running. I want us to think, what kind of lion is chasing you? Is it an African lion or an Indian lion? Is it a male lion or a female lion? Is it an adult lion or a partially grown lion? Is it how big, how heavy? You know, what's the torque? What's the speed of this lion? Is the lion hungry? I don't care. Get me to the gate. Sometimes we're going through things and we're so focused on the pain, we're not focused on the solution. We're focused on the problem. We're not focused on the Savior. The Lord is my strength, and we must understand God is actually our strength. There's a profound truth that comes through this. And you read this truth right through the entirety of the Bible, from the Old Testament right through to the New Testament. The idea that God is our strength is not just it's not a teddy bear. You know, what does a teddy bear do? I know some of the women now, that's it, they're gonna block my number. You know, and even maybe some of the guys as well, I don't know, you know, just keep smiling as if you're not the one I'm talking to. Why do you have teddy bears? You know, I see online, you know, adults. In fact, I know adults who shall remain nameless. You know, who have teddy bears, and they name their teddy bears. Oh, this is Julie. What? God isn't just some fluffy teddy bear that you can stroke at night to feel good when you're in trouble. Because listen, in the darkest of your nights, when the enemy is whispering in your ear at 3 o'clock in the morning, and you can't sleep because of that thing that happened, that situation you're going through, and the whole world has left you by yourself, your heart is broken, your mind isn't still, what's your teddy bear gonna do for you? Don't answer the question. I can see some people going, well, you know, I just stroke it a little bit. Well, God's not your teddy bear. More than that comfort that fluffy teddy bear could bring to your hands, more than that, declaring God as our strength puts us into that place of the tangible reality that is supposed to shape our identity as Christians. If you are a Christian, then God is your strength. If you are a Christian, the Lord is your strength. And to say that He is our strength is to acknowledge that our human strength is limited. To say He is our strength means we're finite beings, we have faults, we have, you know, we fail, we fall, we stumble, we falter. To say that He is our strength is also a confession that we can't do it by ourselves. We see Him, the Almighty, the Creator of the heaven and the earth, the one who holds the universe in His hands. We see Him as our enabler. We see Him. His strength is limited, limitless. It's unfathomable. It's unending. It's uncontainable, unquantifiable. And when we align ourselves with Him, when we put ourselves, you know, into a place of trust, trusting in Him, then we press into His divine strength. God being our strength also means that He empowers us. 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 40. David said, you armed me with strength. I love the logo for the day today. You know, God is my strength. Maybe we should be doing that. The Lord is my strength. We'll see it. You'll see it come. You armed me with strength for battle. You humbled my adversaries. Adversaries? Adversaries. How'd you say the word? Adversaries. Adversaries. Not adversaries. 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 Enemies. Enemies. You humbled my enemies before me. And it's not enemies, is it? Again, this verse here is not talking about physical strength. Humbling the enemy is, you know, humility is not a physical thing. It's talking about the deeply spiritual, emotional, psychological strength. That strength that goes beyond the seen, beyond the tangible, beyond the things that we can touch, a box bag. It's a strength that equips us to face our battles. Yes, because of his strength, we can face the illness. It's the truth. We can face the emotional struggle. We can face the spiritual warfare. We can face the family issues. We can face the financial challenges. And who knows what else? He doesn't just promise us a life free from struggles and battles, but he promises the strength to go through the struggles and the battles and to overcome them. As God being our strength also speaks to him sustaining us. In Isaiah 40, 29. And I've lost control. In Isaiah 40, 29, we read that God gives strength to the weary and he increases the power of the weak. Okay? There it is. He increases the power of the weak. No? Okay, still doing this. Adversaries. Yeah. Are we there now? And the truth of it is, even when we feel weak, even when we feel like we can't go on, God keeps us. He sustains us. He holds us. He carries us through our darkest hour, our deepest valleys. He carries us through those storms. Isn't that right? I know some of your testimonies. I know a lot of your testimonies. I know he's carried you. I know that. He's held you. And some days it feels like he's far and he's absent. But deep in your soul, you know he's not. And he still does this today. He's the one who keeps us standing, keeps us moving forward. His strength is not like human strength. Our strength is limited, it's fragile, it's fallible, it's finite. And sometimes our strength is dependent on our circumstances, depends on what's going on for us that particular day. And his strength is not like that. They're very, very well-known verses in Isaiah. Earlier when I talked about Isaiah, did I do that? Yes. Very well-known verses, Isaiah 30 and 31, Isaiah 43. Pardon? It was already there? Oh, goodness me. Technology, right? I blame the technology, not my clicks. It's the technology. It's not me clicking it. Click it again. I'll keep talking and I'll put it there. Yes, Isaiah 40, 30, 31 says, even youths grow tired and weary, and young men with all their bubble, their six packs, stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They'll run and not grow weary. They'll walk and not be faint. And this highlights the difference between our strength and God's strength. Our strength can help us run, but we will get weary. Our strength can help us walk, but we will get faint. No matter how strong we think we are, there are going to be times where we get to our limit, but God's strength is limitless. Whether you're facing a physical, emotional, spiritual battle, the Lord's strength is available to you. It's available right now. When you feel weak, remember God's power. God's power is perfected in your weakness. His strength is not just for your survival. His strength enables you to overcome. His strength is for your victory, for your success. In Psalm 18, verses 1 and 2, David wrote this psalm. It's actually a song. And these are lyrics to a song. He says, I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield, and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. David is declaring that, you know, that he's declaring more than God's ability to provide comfort. God is his rock, his fortress, his deliverer. In other words, God is not passive. He's strong. He's there. He's doing it. He's not just helping us limp through life's difficulties. He's actually helping us stand through them, stand firm, to resist temptation. It's not just strength to overcome the enemy. Sometimes the real enemy is the inner me. that bad habit, that thing you keep doing, that language you keep using, and you know you shouldn't. Oh, excuse my French. Forgive me, how dare you, French? You say something bad and you call it French? That's an insult to French people. It's true. It's actually true. It is. Go to France, say a bad word, and then say, forgive my French, and see who will forgive you. It's true. And we keep doing it because we have an excuse. We say, oh, you know, I didn't really mean it like that. Then don't do it. And His strength is supposed to help us enter into a place of actual victory in all aspects of our lives. It doesn't mean we're never going to face challenges. And let me tell you, anybody that's telling you, oh, 2025, you will not face a challenge, block that person's number right now. I am not joking. I'm sorry. I don't do that nonsense. Excuse my language. I don't do that nonsense. Anyone who tells you you're not going to face trouble is talking absolute total rubbish. You're going to face trouble. Yeah, I said it. Do you know why I said it? Because even Jesus said it. You're going to face trouble. Let's stop believing the emotional junk that people put out there and they call it the word of God. It's emotional, sentimental nonsense. Jesus said it. Challenges are going to come. He said, in this world, you will have trouble. He didn't say you might, you could, you possibly, maybe, kind of, sort of. You will have trouble. He said, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Amen. I love the way it's written. I love the way it's written in the message. The message is, in this godless world, even in the midst of trouble, in our godless world, we can find strength in the one who has already overcome. Too many people are caught in the deception that there are not going to be any challenges. And because they think there are going to be no challenges, they're not ready. They're not ready. Why does this country have an army? Somebody said, nobody is attacking us. Why do we need an army? And my answer was, nobody's attacking us because we have an army. The athlete doesn't train for the Olympics at the Olympics. You don't practice for your exams at the exam. What are you doing? Oh, why do I need the, you know, yeah, when the time comes. It'll be, God forbid that it will be too late for you. Take heart, He has overcome the world. When we truly lean on God's strength, truly rely on Him, we find the ability to rise above any circumstance. I'm going to give you four quick things, very quick, of how we can press into seeing the Lord as our strength. Number one, spend time in prayer. Prayer is not just talking, not just asking about things. Prayer is not just a shopping list. Those of you who did Firm Foundations, remember the session we did where we talked about what prayer is? You know, remember that? A few people are smiling. They're like, I know we did it, but I don't remember what we talked about. Don't call on me. You know, don't worry. I can see your face. It's obvious. We talk about prayer. What prayer is, what prayer is not. Yeah. It's not just about asking for things. It's also about connecting with God, pressing into His presence. It is in His presence that we find that strength. The Bible says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, the strength of His might. And that's in Ephesians 6:10. And through prayer, we tap into His strength. We remind ourselves of His promises. Number two, meditate on God's word. The word of God is filled, rammed, chock full of promises about God's strength. Full. And meditate on those scriptures. Scriptures such as Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Isaiah 41:10, fear not, I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am with you. Your God, I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Number three, wait on the Lord. As we read earlier on, Isaiah 40:31 says, those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. Those who hope in the Lord. The waiting on the Lord isn't just doing nothing. You keep your hope alive as you wait on God to renew your strength. Waiting on God is not passive. It's active, trusting that God is going to provide strength for the things that we need. And number four, live in community. You cannot do it on your own. Nobody has done it on their own. Nobody has succeeded it on their own. There's a method that works, and it's a method that works with other people, the people that God puts around us, the people that God sends to us. And this is a new year. And if you need to cut people off, what are you waiting for? Press into the people that will help you become more of who God has called you to be. Press into those people. Press into those relationships. Step into that. Come on, man. How long? God strengthens us through others. The Bible says, you know, as a friend sharpens another, Proverbs 27:17, it says, so just as iron sharpens iron. We come and we rub against each other and we learn stuff and we develop stuff, but we also leave some stuff behind. Get around people that will influence God's strength in you. People that will encourage you, that will support you, that will stand with you when your heart is broken and will all uphold you in prayer. People who will speak words of you, over you, not telling you, I wish you were lucky. I said to somebody the other day, in the name of Jesus, my wife, the person said, oh, you're talking to my wife. I said, oh, you're lucky. I said, I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. I pray that my wife will never be lucky. Because let me tell you, the day my wife is lucky, that's the day I know my God is dead. It is not the God of chance that does anything for my wife. Don't ever say that over my wife. I will rebuke it. I will reject it in the name of Jesus. Luck doesn't play any part in our lives, not over me or my children. Because it's the truth. If I'm lucky, why do I need God? I'm wasting my time in this building. It's just the truth. The Lord is our strength. He is our rock. He is our fortress. He is our deliverer. In our weakness, He is strong. Whatever you're facing today, if it's a personal struggle, it's a season of uncertainty, maybe it's a challenge that's making you feel daunted, I want you to know you don't have to face it alone. The Lord is with you and He offers you His strength to carry you through. And when we lean into His power, trust in His promises, rely on Him, on His presence, then we become more than conquerors. And my prayer is that we will live every day with the confident assurance that the Lord is our strength, and in Him and through Him, we can do all things. Amen.
We trust that you've been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information or to follow up on what you've heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.